Thanks, Judy. What a good day it is today. It's a good day, isn't it? Fantastic. At some point, James and Alicia will come back having got changed, at which point we must all give them a massive round of applause as they come back into the building. We don't have to do it yet, just when they come back. So keen, Ruth. it's great. Ruth was the last person we baptised here a couple of weeks ago. This time I didn't get wet. Hey! Though when Ruth did get baptised, I bought a change of shirt and I forgot to bring a change of trousers. So I did then have to do this bit of the service and just preach dripping. Here, I felt like John the Baptist, and I feel that that's not a bad thing to feel like. Can we get this up on the screen, please, Cynthia? Thank you. So we're doing this little series. For those of you who are guests here, I'll just do a little overview of what we've been doing. And for those of you who come here regularly, you've probably forgotten, so I'll remind you. We're doing this series called What on Earth Are We Here For? And the question that we're thinking about is, when we become Christians, why don't we all just get raptured off into heaven? What is it that we're here to do? What is the point in our continued existence? It's quite a heavy series, as you can imagine. Brilliant. And so this question, what on earth are we here for, is the question we've been thinking about. And we've had a couple of ideas. I'm sure you can think of plenty of reasons what we're here for, but these are the three that we've been looking at in this little mini-series. We've got worship at the top. I love this little pointer thing, little laser. Look at this. Fantastic. We've got worship at the top. Worship is giving worth to God. We all worship something. We all give worth to something, whether that's a football team or a political party, whether it's ourselves or our family. We all give worth to something. And I just want to remind us that God is worthy of our worship. You want to worship something, worship God, because he's a good God. He's worth giving worth to. And worship is giving back to God what he has already given to us. God gives us the breath in our lungs and we use it to sing to him. God gives us an intelligence and we use it to think of creative ways to make this world a better place. We're giving back to God what he already gave to us. That's what worship is. Last week we looked at mission. And mission is simply this. It's introducing people to Jesus. It's good news. It's good news. We want to be good news to this village. And we looked last week about how Jesus gave us some ideas about how we do good news. We start by blessing people. That's number one. And if we're not blessing people, we're doing it wrong. So we bless people. We do people good. My favourite, we then eat with people. This is what we looked at last week from John 10, when Jesus says, go to a house, bless the house, pray peace on the house, and then eat whatever's set before you. So we bless people. Then we eat with them, which is just fantastic, because we love eating with people. To develop relationships, because we want to eat with people we might not otherwise eat. We want to show hospitality. Then we pray for the sick, and we allow God to move supernaturally. As we heard about these guys, their story of going to places like Soul Survivor, going to Moldova, they saw the power of God moving, and that's what changed their lives. So we eat with people, and then we pray for people so that they might see God move. And finally, we tell them the kingdom of God's here, and the kingdom of God is with us, because people need to know that God is close. Worship, giving back to God what he's already given to us. Mission, introducing people to Jesus. And then today we're looking at this, which is discipleship. And because I don't really like religious jargon, it doesn't help me, I've decided, this is my definition of discipleship, that discipleship is following Jesus and then becoming like Jesus. Following Jesus and then becoming like Jesus. Which is why I wanted us to look at this passage this morning. And I thought it was particularly appropriate for today, as we start with a baptism, because we're thinking about, well, once we've been baptized, where do we go from here? Discipleship is following Jesus and then becoming like Jesus. In the passage, Jesus meets Andrew. Can we sort this out a little bit? I can do it without a mic if that's not helpful. In the passage, Jesus meets Andrew and some of the other guys, and he says, come and follow me. Now, if you've ever read the Gospels, you might have noticed that every time Jesus says to someone, come and follow me, they all say yes. Has anyone noticed this? All of them. Jesus says, come follow me. And their first response is yes. Anyone else think that's odd? I had to keep asking Charity to go out with me before she eventually said yes. And there's a lesson in there about perseverance, which is another sermon. Keep going. But they say yes. All of them. Maybe some of them said no and they don't make it to the Bible, possibly. But all the ones we read about, they say yes. That's perfect, thank you. Why do they say yes? Some of you might have heard this before, but I'll just quickly go over it. One of the reasons they said yes was because they were brought up in a society of rabbis. And rabbis were teachers. And as I say, some of you might have heard this, so I won't spend ages on it. But if you were a good Jewish child when Jesus was around, you went to school. And you learnt stuff at school. And most of what you learnt was the Old Testament. So you learnt this Old Testament, and you learnt it off by heart, and you got tested on the Old Testament. And if you were the top of the class, you got promoted to the next school. And at the next school, your reward was to learn even more of the Old Testament and learn even more of it by heart and get tested on even more of it. And if you were the best of the best of the best, if you were that kid who got 11 A stars and got their face in the paper, if you were that kid, and we all know that kid, if you were that kid, then you got to go and choose a rabbi to follow for the best of the best. And Jesus, the new rabbi on the scene, walks and finds the blokes that didn't make the cut. They were fishing. They were standing by the side of the road. They were collecting taxes. They were doing their day-to-day activity. And all we know about them is that they weren't good enough to pick a rabbi. And Jesus, the rabbi, looks at them and says, "You, come and follow me. I'm going to give you a second chance." This morning, I don't know if you're looking for a leader. I don't know if you're looking for a rabbi. I don't know if you're looking for a guru or a self-help master. I don't know if you're looking for a political leader to answer your questions. I don't know if you're looking for someone to follow. But let me tell you this morning, that Jesus is looking for you. That regardless of where you've been in your life, whether or not you were the kid who got 11 A stars or you were the one who couldn't get a BTEC, whether you were the person who didn't quite make the cut, Jesus gives you a second chance. Jesus is looking for you and Jesus says, "Come follow me." And the choice you've got is whether or not you say yes. As it says in John, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." You're meant to choose your rabbi if you're the best of the best. But Jesus comes to you this morning and says, "I choose you. I choose you. I give you another chance. You don't have to have all the qualifications. You don't have to have been the best person. You don't have to have a great track record. But in the midst of whatever it is that you are doing day to day, Jesus is still saying, come follow me. Come follow me." And the answer is whether or not you'll say yes. The thing about saying yes to Jesus when he says, "Come follow me," is that you're never quite sure where it's going to end up. When I was baptized a few years ago, I got given two presents. It was great that you guys got given a Bible this morning. My grandparents, they gave me a men's Bible. I haven't got a clue what the difference between a men's Bible and any other Bible. The only thing, I've been thinking about this, I've still got it at home. The men's Bible, it's bigger, so I think I'm less likely to lose it. You notice a lot of the women's Bibles, they're very small, aren't they? They're very small and they're maybe like leather and they're lovely. And the men's Bibles are big because they're like, we know, blokes, you're going to lose this. You're going to put it down. You're going to forget about it. So it's nice and big. So anyway, I've got a men's Bible. Got that from my grandparents. And my parents, they gave me a book called Modern Saints and Martyrs. Happy baptism. And the book is endless stories of people who were martyred for their faith. Cheers, Dad. I did ask him about this. He said, when you choose to follow Jesus, you honestly don't know where it's going to take you. I don't know. If you say yes to Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I can't tell you where it's going to take you. For Andrew, I wonder if he knew when Jesus says, "Come follow me," or any of the other disciples, if he'd have known where that was going to take him, I wonder if he'd have said yes. The next chapter, he's feeding 5,000 people out of a lunchbox. Then he goes to a wedding and he sees Jesus turn water into wine simply to keep the party going. Jesus is healing people. They're coming to him and he's making them better. Demons are being cast out. And then Andrew's there at the crucifixion where his leader is tortured and crucified. He's left alone. Maybe Andrew, if he'd have known that Pentecost was coming, would have said yes. That he'd be there, scared in an upper room when God broke through. I wonder if Andrew would have said yes if he'd have known the persecution was coming. I wonder if Andrew would have said yes if he'd have known that him and his mates were going to be beaten and tortured for their faith. I wonder if he would have said yes if he'd have known that pretty much all of the disciples would have been martyred for what they believed. I don't know if he would have said yes. And this morning, I can't tell you what saying yes to Jesus leads you to. I can't tell you that it will be safe. I can't even tell you that you won't be martyred, because saying yes to Jesus puts you in some ridiculous places. It is worth it. But it is worth it. But it is worth it. I had two friends. They were nearing the end of their careers. Both of them were in pretty poor health. Neither of them liked the sunshine or the heat. They weren't particularly fond of children. They said yes to Jesus. And today, 12 years later, there were three schools in Uganda that wouldn't otherwise be there. As they moved out there and they set up these places, and hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of children are fed and educated. Why? Because they said yes to Jesus. They didn't know where it would take them. Charity, she ended up in a maximum security prison for young offenders. And the reoffending rates dropped. Why? Because she told them that they were worth something. She said yes to Jesus. Dear me, okay, most of us. I said yes to Jesus, and I'm an Earl's Cone, so that's nice, isn't it? It often works out either. You don't know. And I'm in this picturesque village, so it's all swings and roundabouts. I can't tell you where saying yes to Jesus will take you, but I can tell you it's worth it. Andrew didn't know what saying yes to Jesus would look like. But he did know what it would mean. It means copying Jesus. So if you had a rabbi, this is what you'd do. You would follow your rabbi so closely. You'd copy everything that they did. There are stories about rabbis having to kick their disciples out of the loos because the disciple tried to follow them to the toilet. It's true. Because the disciples were trained to follow their rabbi closely, to copy their rabbi. Because that's what discipleship means. It means saying yes to following Jesus, and then it means copying him. Let's act like Jesus. I said last week that if you want to be good news to people, you can start acting like a good Jesus. If you want to introduce people to Jesus, then start acting like Jesus. So if I hear a particularly inspirational preacher or teacher, my first response is normally, have they got a book? That's what I quite like. I hear a good turn, I'm like, have they got a book? Does anyone else do this? Certain way, okay, it's how my mind works. I learn best from books. But I do that because I've got kind of a Greek mindset that I like ideas and I like thoughts. My background's in kind of science, so I like formula and stuff. I am that nerdy kid who thinks that, like, Feynman was brilliant. Anyway, Maxwell's equations are beautiful, and to some people they're just a load of letters, and they probably are to me as well. But I like ideas written down. But that doesn't cut it for Jesus. You can't get a textbook about Jesus and call yourself a Christian. You can't say to Jesus, have you got a book? Because he didn't write anything down. This is pretty good, and I can highly recommend it. But Jesus didn't put his ideas on the Sermon on the Mount on a pamphlet for us to memorize. If you want to become a disciple of Jesus, you have to know the person of Jesus. I want someone's books. I want their ideas devoid of their personality. But you can't know about Jesus. You can't follow Jesus without getting to know the person of Jesus. You can't separate the ideas of Jesus from the person of Jesus, because Jesus taught on the move. That's why he says, come and follow me. Come and see what I'm doing. Come and be with me when I'm feeding the sick, when I'm feeding the hungry. Come and be with me when I'm healing the sick. Come and be with me. If you want to be a disciple, you've got to act like Jesus. So when Jesus says, heal the sick, then we're called to go and heal the sick. When Jesus says, love your enemy, we need to think about who are the people we find it hard to love and then make a special effort to love them. When Jesus spends time with the people on the outskirts of society and gives them dignity and speaks to women like they were human, which was certainly not common in Jesus' day. We need to think in our lives, who are the people on the outskirts of society? Who are the people that society pushes to the edge and doesn't treat them like they're human? We're called to treat them like they're human because that's what Jesus did. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, we say yes to Jesus and then we follow him. I'll finish with this idea. They used to use this phrase, you'd be covered in the dust of your rabbi's feet. The idea that you would walk so closely behind your rabbi that he would kick up dust from his feet and it would cover the disciples. And my encouragement to you this morning would be two things. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes. I don't know where you'll end up. You might be in Hell's Cone. It might be in Timbuktu. It might be in a maximum security prison, teaching people that they're worth something. I have no idea. But say yes to Jesus because it's worth it. He's worth following. And get close to Jesus. Cover yourself in the dust of the rabbi. Follow so closely to Jesus. Copy him. Act like Jesus. Because as we do that, we truly become disciples of our master. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to James to lead us with some final songs this morning, which I'm sure will be great. Jesus, I thank you that you choose us. That we don't have to be good enough before we can follow you. We don't have to pass a test. But you're looking at us today and saying, come, follow me. And Jesus, we pray that our response would be yes. That we would choose to follow you in all of our lives. And God, I pray that we would learn to follow you by acting like you. That we would take on the characteristics that we see in Jesus. We put off things that aren't of you. God, we want to be disciples of you. And this morning we just say, we're in, we're up for it. We follow you. I pray now, Jesus, you'll be coming by the power of your Holy Spirit. That people here would know that they are loved, that they are chosen by you. That you are calling us to a great adventure that is following you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want someone to pray with you, then do grab someone that you trust and make sure that happens before you go, because it's good. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. I'm going to hand over to James. We're going to take an offering in our first song. If you're not a normal member of the congregation, then please don't at all feel obliged to give. But if you are a regular member here, then we do like to give people that opportunity. So do stand and we're going to sing today. If you'd like someone to pray with you, then do come up the front if you'd like that, or find someone where you're sitting.